Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good morning, Ramble Force. Thank you. It's a football ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, come on in, sit down, grab yourself a cup of tea. Pete is here.
Hello.
Lukey is here.
All right.
And James or Jim is here also.
Morning.
We had an email in asking us, in light of Cesc Fabregas' solo goal the other day, what is your favourite solo goal in the history of mankind?
Can you be more specific? Do you want me to go first?
Well, if you so desire.
Well, I'm quite excited about this one. I'm going to go for Lothar Matthäus's goal for Germany, or West Germany, sorry. Yes. World Cup 90.
Yugoslavia?
Yeah. Was it his first or his second?
I think it was his first.
He picked up the ball and he just started inside his own half, and he drove forward. He just rifled it in the bottom corner.
Well, he goes past one man.
And when the other guy closes, now he just smashes it in.
Yeah,
cracking strike.
Yeah,
he was brilliant in that World Cup as well.
Oh, he was the best player in the world. I think 91. He may have been voted FIFA World Player of the Year. May well have done, but forgive me if that's wrong, listeners. James or Jim?
There's so many to choose from. I sort of agonised over this, but I think I'm going to go for that George Best goal that he scored when he was in Nazzle.
Oh yeah,
That's a good one.
The Orlando Pirates something Buccaneers. Bang!
Yeah. It was the Orlando Butt Pirates, I think.
Yeah. he beat eight of their players all in the penalty area.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, he picked it up like, not even that far into his own half, just went for a little bit of a sprint, and then just backwards and forwards. They were like Bambi on ice, a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Twisting and turning.
Not only could they not tackle him, I don't think they'd ever seen that sort of thing before either.
But they all kind of, as one, went left. And then they went right.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like terrible football.
It was like some kind of a line dance.
The commentary on it as well was like, "That is the greatest soccer goal I have ever seen."
Who are we to argue with that, James?
Exactly.
Pete.
I kind of agree with Jim. I didn't know what the hell to go for. Originally, I was going to go for Ibra against NEC Breda.
Mm. Oh, for Ajax.
Yeah, that was a cracking goal.
And, where he beat people and then beat them again. Yeah. And then again. But then I thought Archie Gemmell.
Good one.
Against Holland.
For Scotland.
78.
Yeah.
Because they needed to win by three clear goals. I think it was like 2-1.
They won 3-2.
Yeah. And then that took it to 3-1. And then they won. They only won by 3-2. So they went out. But good goal. Yeah. Good goal.
Yeah.
And well remembered by a lot of people.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say honourable mention, but you haven't done yours yet. Sorry, mate.
I'm going to stick with the World Cup theme and Saidi Owairan
for
Saudi Arabia. 94 World Cup against Belgium.
And that was great.
He picked it up and he thought, I fancy this. He just kept it. He's quite a tall, gangly type of player, and that kind of glide that often taller players have.
Like myself, Mark.
And just went well, and just went on and on and on and thought, about now.
Because
a lot of the other players in that situation, they sort of go, well, somebody's about to attack.
Yeah, that's right.
And they always go, oh God, he's scored.
There was some really, really shoddy defending during that run, though.
Fantastic. Yeah, but it wasn't as shoddy defending. And you see, I remember the George Weah one for AC Milan.
Yeah, to say that one.
Right, well, he picked it up in his own box, but then he got very lucky. He actually lost control of the ball about the halfway line. But still, it's a great goal.
And all those sorts of goals, I mean, if you look at the Maradona one, sort of scared. I'm not taking anything.
He linked his hand in that one.
And then
Maradona's one's probably the best, the ultimate one.
The Giggs one for United in the Cup against Arsenal, they stood off him. The Wales one, they stood off him. The Saudi Arabia one, they stood off him. And the defending for the Cesc Fabregas one goal at the weekend was, I think calling it defending was actually quite generous to them. That was ridiculous.
So, for a change, you agree with Harry?
Yeah.
On that point.
Yeah.
I was going to mention
a very narrow point.
I can remember a Darren Huckabee one against Forest at home when he was playing at Coventry. when he kind of did a load of men and rounded the keeper. Because Darren Huckabee used to have a good sort of November, December. He would look amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was about it. Never in time for the World Cup, of course.
He makes a wintry highlight reel, that man.
Yeah. That was the one where when he went to MLS, the guy who interviewed him said, according to the internet, you scored the greatest goal of all time.
Yeah. Oh, and another one, an honourable mention, if I may, King Kladze. For Man City. It was against Southampton.
He's got a load of them, though, isn't he?
Man City, yeah.
Surely Roberto Baggio as well.
We could be all that.
Yeah, we've got to move on.
Wait, do you mean Baggio for Italy in World Cup 90 when he scored that one?
And
that,
Oh, yes.
Just look at the way he glides
what
from
a goal by Baggio.
Yeah.
Crack it. We're going to have to move on.
Who gets the points?
I think James does.
Yes! It's been a while.
Well, because, you know, you've got to give a goal to Nazel in such a...
true, yeah.
In such an area.
Any opportunity to big up Nazel...
And George Best.
...is accepted and encouraged.
And George Best.
Yeah.
Arsenal did beat Spurs 3-0 on the weekend. Spurs still haven't beaten Arsenal in the league this century.
Let's be fair, this
millennium, it still works.
But against Arsenal, Spurs were the better team between the first and second goal.
Okay.
Shamelessly stolen from someone else. I read that the other day. So.
Okay. And the last time Spurs won away at Arsenal was in 1993, I think. James, you must be pleased.
Yeah. I mean, it was obviously really... I hate those games. I'm sure everyone's the same with sort of their real sort of... their biggest rivals. And
it's almost like you're watching through your fingers.
It is. Yeah. It's quite stressful to watch. So it was good that... You know, it was quite tight for a while. But, I think you know, obviously the two goals really, really killed it off. And you can...
They lost their way after that.
Absolutely. Of course they did. I mean, the game was over on 70 minutes. Arsenal were really playing it out. And I think they could have scored more. Eduardo should have scored that time.
They could have, yeah.
Arsenal wasn't happy with that, was he? I do think it's worth pointing out that Spurs are, in terms of budget and size of club and all that sort of thing, and players really, they're cut above sort of 12 or 13 teams in the Premier League.
Oh, so big time, yeah.
It doesn't. And they've had some okay results. So they beat Liverpool and they've beaten a lot of other sort of lower teams. so that's obviously going to happen. But when it comes to playing teams like Arsenal away, I think that there's a few players in that Spurs side who need to have a look at themselves, because when they play against the top, if you like, the sort of perceived top four, but I would probably say Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal top three now.
Yeah.
When they play against those sort of teams, the game passes some of their players by.
Mm.
And I don't know what Redknapp's doing playing. Like I say, Benton Hall's still in the same side, you know, can't run, won't run, and as we'll call them, and people like I don't know if he's got some sort of thing where he has to, now he's made Robbie Keane captain, he has to play him because he farmed him out wide and he did nothing all game.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, isn't it? I mean, and it's a shame because it is exciting times at Spurs for those fans, you know.
And it always is, isn't it? It's a roller coaster.
No, but I think this season's different. I think you've got to admit that. You know, they do. Redknapp's been there for a little. You know, he's been there for a little while now. They've got some good players.
You
know, they've had a good start to the season.
But sorry, what makes me say that it's always like that is they generally do get a lot of new exciting players in every year, and it hasn't worked for whatever reason. I mean, I've said myself this season, I think they can do better than they have done before. I think
no one has a divine right to win at the Emirates.
No, exactly. Yeah,
there's very few teams that can have even done it.
Keegan's Newcastle did it.
Not even they had
the attitude of like, oh, it's a derby, so it's going to be automatically a really tight game, so we're probably definitely going to get something out of it. But just because they did last season in sort of quite extraordinary circumstances, you've got players at Arsenal who, to be honest, are world-class players. Players like Robin van Persie, who has come on such a long way from being a sort of, you know, a final out on the wing, and Arsene Wenger, in a way, has done what he did with Henri with Van Persie and turned him into a real, like, mercurial striker from a sort of out on the wide, out on the flank, sort of isolated wide man.
Well, there's obviously talk of Walcott as well, maybe doing a similar thing there.
Who knows? Yeah, yeah. It was a good game anyway, I enjoyed it.
Fulham, Roy and the boys, as I predicted.
Yeah, you did.
Did a job over Liverpool. Mm. Yeah. Were they sendings off?
The Carragher one, I mean, on the second look, it looked like he got to the ball, but he sort of did go through the man, sort of pulled him down.
I thought it was a good tackle.
Clumsy, wasn't it?
I thought it was a good tackle myself.
He arguably should have gone down for the tackle before that.
Well.
But I didn't give a penno.
But the first sending off?
He's turned into the worst player in the league.
What, Carragher?
He's slightly
off. He's such a bad defender now.
Oh, come on.
He just looks increasingly clumsy, doesn't he? I wouldn't go as far as to say that he's like a bad defender or anything like that.
I think he looks heavier in the legs.
It's either that he can't play alongside, he can't play in a centre-back partnership without Daniel Agger. It must be that, because he's looked woefully exposed in probably the last three or four games he's played in, to be honest. I mean, if you look at how he performed against Chelsea, he was terrible. Drogba gave him a horrible time. Mm. And against Zamora, I mean, come on, Zamora's a hard worker, like we said last week.
Yeah. I was pleased Zamora scored, actually.
Yeah, I think I'll probably...
I think he's deserved it for his performances of late.
He works hard, but if, listen, let's be honest. Obviously, he's not the worst player in the league, I'm being silly there, but if he's struggling, really, to deal with Bobby Zamora... Jamie Carragher is an international experienced defender.
Well, twice he broke away from him, Zamora, and twice there was... you know, one was given, one was not, you know.
He gets himself in those positions, you know.
He does.
If you were, as far as I'm concerned, whether it was a sending off or not, if you're as a defender, you get yourself in those positions where the referee's got to make a decision like that.
Well, and Michael Owen as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
He
gets caught flat quite a lot. It's very, very true. But Liverpool are floundering at the moment.
It wasn't even the sendings off that switched the game. I think it was just the fact that Benitez made some mental substitutions, I think.
He's a stubborn man.
He's in a position where he spent over £200 million at Liverpool and he's only got one striker.
Yeah.
He's only got one striker of that standard because he's converted Babel and Cow into wingers, and David Ngoe, whilst he looks a promising young player, he's not at the standard yet, and Andre Vorenin isn't good enough. I mean, Andre Vorenin is 30 years old now, so I mean, he's not going to improve a vast amount, really.
Neil Mellor's not there anymore.
No, exactly. So... I don't understand. If I was a Liverpool fan, I wouldn't even be arguing with taking Torres off against Fulham because they've got a big game in the week.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got to win it. So I understand the rationale. But what I would be asking if I was a Liverpool fan is, how are we in this position? Mm. Why have we not got another striker? Why have we let Crouch go? Why have we let Keane go? Okay, that didn't work out. Why is Count not a striker anymore? Why is Babel not a striker anymore? And Ngoe isn't good enough.
Well, an interesting thing that I saw a little while ago is that a lot of... Actually, this is what Jermaine Pennant said, that a lot of players at Liverpool seem to stall. If you look at Babel, if you look at Kite to a degree as well, Robbie Keane as well, like, they don't sort of progress. I mean, Robbie Keane should have worked out there. You could tell Benitez didn't really want him there. Yeah. Robbie Keane is too good for the stats that he had at Liverpool. He's a better player than that. We know that.
Yeah.
And it does very much seem the case that these players kind of stagnate. The refusal to sort of play Bennion more often as well.
That's a strange one.
Bennion has been so consistently good for them. I know he wasn't too popular with the fans at first for some reason, but he's a real sort of creative player for them. They really, really need that. They're just so heavily reliant on Torres and Gerrard. It's such a cliche thing to say, but it's consistent. True, and they need to address it. And Benitez does seem too stubborn to actually do that.
Well, I think they need to. They definitely need another striker there.
Torres and Ngoe and Triple H is just not enough.
Well, maybe they might look to the south coast because there's a little lad called Dindan who's firing all cylinders.
Wigan were murdered on Dindan's floor, weren't they? You having that?
God, we are available for corporate work, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, cracking.
Only some of us.
It's only last week I was saying he is in danger of turning into a comedy character.
4-0.
If by comedy you mean goals.
Has he used his quota up?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's it then. Wigan are so horrifically inconsistent. And to be honest, you know...
Zinedine Dindan.
I don't... Yeah.
Good.
Thank you. Well, it's Luke's
better,
but I'll have it.
I don't think Pompey are out of the woods or anything. Anything, or they turned the corner. They got a couple of winnable games.
They only got 3 points for that one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's sickening. It's a scandal.
Yeah. Another really positive thing. I know he went off injured, but that Piccioni got a goal. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Piccioni. Yeah, he only got a concussion though. He's not a long term injury.
Yeah. So, that's great that he's off the mark as well because Dindan has looked odd, hasn't he? So hopefully,
we said a few weeks ago they did have a few winnable matches and they have been playing well. So,
well, I'll tell you what, boys. A couple of interesting facts. Pompey have scored 8 goals in the last 2 games, and they've conceded less goals than Liverpool this season in the league. So it's not all, and you've got to put it in perspective. I'm not going to bore everyone to death with Pompey as usual, but Pompey had the worst Premier League start in history and they're still only bottom on goal difference. They're only 3 points from safety, so it's not the end of the world. Away to Blackburn next week and at home to Stoke the week after that, it could be a completely different set of table in a couple of weeks.
From the bottom to the top, Chelsea going very well. Pete, you loved their fourth goal against Bolton.
I think I've downgraded best goal of the decade.
That was ridiculous.
I've downgraded it to best goal of the last 3 years.
3 years.
We threatened him with a sacking. If he went public with that decade comment, we'd be a sacking. Esteban Cambiaso's got something to say about that.
Yeah.
Was it
premiership goal?
A suspicion of offside about it? It was a lovely goal.
Oh, stop.
I mean, he
didn't celebrate, which kind of made me think that he thought he was offside or something. But no, I don't think it was.
I think he would have rather have went down and got the penalty.
Yeah.
Jaskalainen just played brilliantly in that game.
Chelsea yes, come on, it is a quality
really,
goal.
Yeah, oh, he is, yeah. But he was really frustrating, Drogba, and I think maybe he was just sort of just relieved to finally score. That flick from Lampard.
Lovely little
brilliant.
One. Yeah, lovely.
Well, no, even like the, it was similar, I think it was Carvalho crossed for the third goal, I think. Mm, yeah. Outside, yeah. Almost like an outside toe, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah. The cross, the outside of the boot cross from Carvalho.
That was for the third goal.
Yeah,
it was
very
the third goal. It was very reminiscent of the
Vegard Heggem. Do you remember a Liverpool player, Vegard Heggem?
Yeah, Why do I remember?
He could only really kick the ball with the outside of his foot. That's what reminded me of.
Well, yeah, banana feet.
Yeah.
Deco's goal was good as well, wasn't it? It's kind of nice
to see
him actually
playing
well.
Yeah.
Chelsea look very, very good at the moment. I
think they're the only side that you look at the moment you think, man, they could win it.
Before the season kicked off, I tell Chelsea for the league, I'm sticking with it.
So we shall see. Another win for Burnley at home.
Loving that home form, aren't they?
He's superb.
Great.
It really is quite something, you know, and they've put more pressure on Phil Brown and Hull.
Well, they were kind of playing Hull, the side that got found out around about Christmas anyway. So,
yeah, exactly.
It may happen to Burnley, possibly.
Well, do you think Phil Brown is going to go? I mean, Adam Pearson, the new guy in charge there, the new chairman, says that he said Phil will be manager on Sunday, but there's no point in me saying he's got a job for life. That's not the case.
If my boss said that about me, I'd be worried. Hull have won 3 games out of 31.
They have, yeah.
So, I mean,
should we have a Phil Brown point on it? Yeah.
he should have gone in the summer.
Do you reckon?
Definitely. Anybody who can't turn around, like, how many wins do they put together and how many wins do they not put together?
They've got 3 wins since Boxing Day last year, I think I'm right in saying.
See, now that is terrible form for any Premier League.
But for such a long, long time as well. Yeah. What I'll do, like, is we'll go for a walk on this bridge.
Yeah.
Well, Phil Brown is still in charge, though, and he'll be in charge on Sunday, that's for sure.
Apparently, he may not be in charge by the time this comes out.
He may not be in charge Monday, but
he's probably putting his bike in the boot of his car right now.
What, with the help of John Barnes?
Yeah, Jason McAteer. Yeah.
I think his days are truly numbered, I would say.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Someone who's just started their managerial career at Middlesbrough, Gordon Strachan, lost his first home game, lost his first game at home to Plymouth, who are in the relegation zone, so a very poor start for Strachan there. Because Middlesbrough are obviously looking to get promoted. They're in the playoff position, I believe.
It's very close to the top of the table, but didn't he put an extra 5,000 on the gate just by becoming manager? So
I'd imagine.
Steve Gibson would have been reasonably happy with that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a funny old league, isn't it?
First game as well. It's not had a lot of time to work with players. I think he'll be all right. He's a good manager, Strachan.
I think he is as well.
I quite liked the BBC headline was Pogatez has surgery on cheek. And in my mind, I was thinking, he's got a surgery on a cheek. Even though it's a very normal sentence, I envisage a tiny doctor's surgery on a man's cheek. And I couldn't shift that image from my mind. I don't know why.
I know what you mean.
When you have surgery on knee, arm, leg, fine. Cheek. Surgery on a cheek.
They should have said cheekbone. They should have said cheekbone. I mean, I never wish harm on anyone. You know me, you guys. But Pogatex is a bit of a nasty character, isn't he? So I'm not going to lose any sleep over that.
No.
I hear he's got a surgery.
It's interesting. Cardiff are second in the Championship at the moment. Do you think this is the season that Cardiff could go up? Get the Welsh side for the first time in the Premiership?
They're apparently quite close to look at securing quite a lot of investment from some Far East businessmen as well. Which is, you know, they're actually looking like they might come into a bit of cash. Which
That sounds like English football.
For a club with Peter Ridsdale on the board, you'd probably be forgiven to sort of for doubting that. But that was a battling draw against Forest. It was a good game, actually, as well.
Those both of those sides, I think are playing so bloody well. And I think it's good to see Shopper playing in a decent side.
Yeah,
I'm very fond of him.
Said through the gritted teeth of a Newcastle United fan.
No, it'd be really interesting to see a Welsh team in the Premier League as well, just for the actual rivalry that would bring every week.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting.
Every game would be a cup final for them, wouldn't it, Marcus? Eh?
I can't deny that.
I mean, it would sort of fan the flames of getting the Scottish Premier League.
Would it though?
You know what people are like, man. You know what? Got to write a sports column by Friday, somebody's going, I've got to write about something. Oh, Cardiff are being promoted. I've got to write about Rangers joining Premier League.
Who does Michael Winner write for?
Rangers are skinned. They went for the four. There won't be a club if Tom's going to the Premier League.
Join me, if you will, because I'm going to Serie A.
Can I come?
Yes, you can. You're all invited.
Cracking.
Cool. Let's go to Sampdoria. Antonio Cassano.
Yes! Legend.
Just know this is going to be good.
Sampdoria, who have had a really good start to the season. I think they're third. Yeah. Although they were beaten 5-1 away to Juventus the other week.
Wasn't that a game you predicted them to win, Marcus?
Could have been.
Yeah. And, I heard they were very unlucky.
It's funny because you were, like, wrong.
Yeah, I heard they were really unlucky for being completely outclassed.
More on that later. Okay. But they drew 0-0 at home against Bari, which was a poorer result.
Have we got a choice Antonio Cassano quote coming up?
Oh, we do.
Go on then.
Cassano said, "We are in joint." So he's moaning. He was moaning about the fans, Sampdoria fans. He said, "We are in joint second place with Juventus. Inter are a step above, and frankly, in their own league. Maybe the people who have become a little too accustomed to eating Nutella have to eat a little bit of shit now and then."
Why Nutella?
Yeah, I love the analogy. Because he's always thinking about his food, isn't he? He has to get a bit of food.
Maybe he's got some sort of sponsorship deal with Nutella.
Well, actually, if you look at my whole... If you look at my whole prediction with the Juventus-Sampdoria thing, I said to win... Sampdoria to win and Cassano to eat well after the game.
Did you?
And he's 1 out of 2.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, that's cracking. That
Nutella. I mean, is it because Nutella is a little bit like shit?
Yeah, of course it is. Brown food. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's a delicacy in Italy.
I love Cassano because you get so many players who just don't say anything interesting. And Cassano is ploughing that furrow on his own. Basically, the reason he is not going to get in the Italian... Well, do you reckon he will get in the Italy squad?
No, I don't. Because of that kind of behaviour.
Huge sort of outcry about this as well.
It's a shame. He's a good player.
I didn't see that quote, but I saw that he was threatening to leave. And
why?
His agent's trying to get him a move to Inter or Juve or something like that.
Not going
to
happen.
But I don't think he'll go there because, like you say, because of his personality.
But I think he is a big fish in a small pond. That's where he operates best.
That's why he likes it. Yeah,
of course. I think if he went to Inter, Juventus, it wouldn't
work. Swallowed up by it.
A bigger fish.
Yeah, he'd be too mental, and they wouldn't like it, and he'd be farmed out somewhere else.
Well, Mourinho wouldn't have him, would he?
No way.
Yeah.
Mourinho doesn't want anyone trying to out-mental him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well. At Milan, they've won the race to sign the Ghanaian youngster Dominic Adia.
I pictured loads of like chairmen in club kits, like literally racing.
That's
Berlusconi would be up for that. Yeah. If there was like a fit girl at the front, he'd be up for it.
But that's clearly the way it should be done, James.
Isn't it, Dominic?
And if Platini gets his way.
Isn't it Adiaia?
Adiaia. Sorry, you're absolutely right. Yeah, he's 20 years old. He was a big star in the under 20 World Cup, which of course Ghana won.
Yeah.
And he was the top goal scorer and player of the tournament. So bloody hell, he's quite a player.
I'm pretty sure City were trying to sign him for ages.
I think they were. Yeah, I think there was quite a few sides. But he's gone to Milan, and they're very happy with that. So apparently he's kind of they've got him so he can play in a kind of a Pato or Ronaldinho type role for them.
Well, it's no good for Huntelaar, who still can't score. He hasn't scored a single game.
That's a shame.
And he's not even been coming off the bench, Huntelaar.
No, Milan won 2-0 at the weekend against Parma. They're now fourth.
Mm.
So, you know, they're back in the top four. Because we worried for Leonardo, didn't we?
Yeah.
He seems to be sort of getting out of jail quite a lot of the time.
That's right. Needed a couple of...
Yeah.
I mean, Alessandro Nesta scored 2 goals. Yeah. I think he'd only scored 2 goals or 3 goals.
Yeah, he scored 2 in 10 minutes, didn't he?
Yeah. Remarkable.
I like Leonardo. He's absolutely dreamy as well.
He's incredibly handsome. Man.
Oh, that Milan derby is the most handsome coach off. Yeah. Come on, Mourinho.
Why does this always happen? Does this always happen?
Do you not think?
Put your shirt back on, Lou.
Do you not think the Whitby Gazette versus the Goths would be a handsome coach off?
Oh, of course it would. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm not afraid to say it to you. Thinking about Leonardo and Mourinho lining up on that touchline makes me almost fully erect.
Man, I can tell you what, listeners, it absolutely does.
If you drink a lot of milk.
Which
carry on, I'm off for a cold shower.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. Now, we talked about Stephen Appiah, the Ghanaian captain on the show before. He has finally moved to a club.
What's he been doing?
I just don't know.
Just he's
still been playing for Ghana, though.
He was so desperate for a club, he was training with Spurs for about 3 weeks.
I think so, yeah. He's 28.
Yeah.
But he's moving to Bologna.
It must be a Rivaldo thing. Remember when Rivaldo priced himself out of every club in the world?
Yeah.
Appiah must have just said, look, I'm not settling for anything less.
And he
struggled to prove his fitness a little bit, to be fair to him as well.
Well, he has done, but he's a really good player. It's such a shame.
It might be a case that he's one of those players that genuinely has peaked early. Because from what we do know of Appiah, he's a really, really good player. For him not to be able to find a club is deeply suspect.
Yeah, there must be something else afoot.
Maybe he just trials really badly. Can't be arsed.
Can't Ghana just join a league?
A lot of players don't like going on trial, do they? Do you remember that story about Paul Robinson going on trial? I think it was at Arsenal or something like that. Apparently, he was annoyed about going on trial because he felt he was already proved his worth. And I don't know if it's true, but the story goes that Bob Wilson, the goalkeeping coach, just striking balls at him. He just let him go past him, going, "Could have had that. Could have had that. Could have saved that."
You wouldn't even bother to go, would you?
Any listener can back that up and email in.
I did hear something about Arsenal offering a trial to Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and him saying, I do not trial, I am Zlatan.
Yeah, exactly.
I also heard the best quote from Ibrahimovic a little while ago. Apparently he and John Carew have had a bit of a spat, right?
Have they? Norway versus Sweden, cracking.
And Carew said something about him being overrated, blah, blah, blah. And this is so good. Ibrahimovic said, yeah, he says that, but is there honestly anything he can do with a football that I can't do with an orange?
Oh, good.
He's also said, really good. I've also seen an interview with him where someone said to him at the end of the interview, like as a jokey question, who is the most beautiful woman in the world? And Zlatan said, I do not know, but when I find that, I will marry her.
he is the epitome of massive talk.
Classic.
Speaking of
massive strikers?
Yeah, speaking of a massive striker with a bit of an ego, we did his profile last week, but he's back in the running order. It's Christian Vieri, and he could be murking us in the face because we announced his retirement on the Ramble.
But there's on purpose.
But there's only to irk us, I can only assume.
Trying to irk us on purpose.
Apparently there's talk of him coming out of retirement to play for Brazilian side Botafogo.
Who are rubbish, by the way.
He's
already signed for them, though. I'm sure
His agent has said it's all done. We've agreed, we've already signed a pre-contract agreement and agreed upon all the details.
The Botafogo know he can't run.
I don't know.
Everything's agreed, presumably, if it's a pre-contract agreement.
Otherwise it would have just been a contract.
But did you say that he is apparently going to join Botafogo because you just can't believe it?
Yeah.
That's insane. I don't know if an Italian player has ever played in Brazil before. I don't know. Maybe a long time.
There must be a few.
It's an odd move, James. No matter how you look at it.
Marcus, were you saying that this week that Vieri got his top scorer for an Italian in the Spanish league record taken off him as well?
He did. Giuseppe Rossi. We'll come to that in a second. He will have, if he does go there, I'm struggling to believe it, but it appears to be all, you know.
He's just diversifying his business interests.
He will love it there.
He's launching a new range of condoms.
I just think a 35-year-old European man, Australian-European man, I can't imagine that anybody over 35, football-wise, should not be in South America. Because you'd be like, no, this is not the way to do it. mental.
I don't think he's too bothered about
football. No, he's not going.
His interests are partying and beautiful women. Mm. And he's going to Brazil.
Yeah, when's the Rio Carnival? Who's that?
Yeah, exactly. Ronaldo is still smashing them for Corinthians, by the way. He may get in the Brazil squad, which would be amazing.
Don't say that.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. Come on.
Semi-on.
I think he's got about 21 goals in about 32 games for Corinthians.
Oh, yeah, that would be delish.
Can you imagine
delish.
Him at the World Cup and that Chelsea goal all in one season? Whoa.
Exactly.
But the Botafogo president, Luis Pereira, has also said that the club are closing in on signing one of Vieri's former Italy teammates, Francesco Cocco. He's coming out of retirement. He's 32.
They're not pronounced Coco?
Yeah. Coco, sorry.
You're thinking of Philip Cocu. He's thinking of Cocu.
No, I'm not.
He's thinking of Cocu.
I'm bloody not.
Yeah, Cocu was a good player as well back
in the day. He's only 32.
Yeah, I thought he's much older than that.
Get all the old boys to Brazil. I love it.
Great.
Absolutely love it.
he's definitely a player who's peaked early, Cocu.
Yeah, well, he's also a bit of a businessman because him and his father, they own a few shops and they've got a clothing label called Urban 77. He's a bit of a celebrity in Italy.
Is he?
Well known for his partying as well and all that.
Of course he is.
There's a pattern emerging.
Yeah, exactly. That's I'm really well known for my party. Can I go to Brazil?
Well,
old footballers
not on
and
your
old,
own.
Old footballers and old Nazis. That's where they all go.
Exactly.
They all go to South America.
The boys from Brazil.
Yeah.
But
how yeah. Like the Canio off there anytime.
I tell you, Cassano's going to end up there.
Yeah, he will.
He's gone for the Nazis, though.
Cassano. Cassano's sitting by the phone. Come on, ring. Yeah,
yeah. I'm not ringing you.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I love it. Get them all there. Pele will make a comeback as well. Yeah. Get his 2,000th goal.
I would.
had to be said. As you said earlier, look, Giuseppe Rossi has broken Christian Vieri's record as the highest scoring Italian in La Liga history.
Well, not many Italians go there. So
with 25 goals.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And Vieri got all his, as we talked about last show. I think he said last show, yeah. 24 league goals in a season. Rossi's taken a little bit more. He's taken 2.25 seasons to reach the 25. But as you said, there's hardly any Italians playing in Spain.
He's still quite young, Rossi, though. He's
a great player.
Well, he's actually, and also, because he's Italian-American, supports the Yankees and probably likes some donuts as well.
Have you just put that in there?
Yeah.
He probably likes donuts because he's American.
Well, yeah.
Bit racist, isn't
he's
it?
He's not a policeman from America.
Oh, yeah. Kick racism out of Marcus Speller. That's what
yeah. Not physically. Rossi has scored more La Liga goals than anyone from the USA, too. I think we probably knew that anyway. Mm. So there are two records he's got.
There's a big rivalry between Spain and Italy that we're not really aware of.
I think so, James.
Like, you know, I suppose people from Portugal probably don't care that there's a massive rivalry between us and Germany. Maybe it's the same, we're just not so aware.
Everyone
of it,
in Germany, let's be honest.
No, it's when they beat Italy in year 2008, that was just like this. It was like if we'd beaten Germany on penalties, you know. It was like huge thing in Spain, which we're maybe not so aware of.
Emails.
It is emails. Luke, he's going to go first.
I've got a Hyde United update. I mean,
oh yeah,
the more attentive listeners will know that a few weeks ago we issued a plea on behalf of Hyde United to try and
save their club.
Well, basically, yeah. So yeah. Tom from the supporters club has emailed in saying since it was announced that the widening up of the club was rescinded because they managed to raise the money, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs have announced that the club's proceedings in court are over. But the debts still total around £50,000. They're still trying to raise money for that, so it's very much ongoing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've had some bucket collections around at Oldham and Old Trafford, and everyone's been banding together. And on Saturday, some Accrington Stanley fans came along to see them. Another club actually in financial crisis.
Yeah, so that's
nice to see. Mm. And they raised a few quid for them and spent some money in the club shop and stuff, so it's still going along. Unfortunately, results on the pitch haven't been that great. They've lost. They got knocked out of the FA Cup by Salford City, who are a couple of divisions below them. But they're still going along and battling away. But the good news is, yeah, the court proceedings are over.
Good.
So that's good. But as soon as we get the news through that they've paid off all their debts, then we shall let you know. But thanks to everyone who contributed, whether you did or not, or who raised awareness and visited the website, that sort of stuff. If you want to keep helping them, then the website is eyeonthetigers.co.uk.
Fantastic. Yeah, all the best to Hyde United. Pete, give us an email.
All right, then. This is from a gentleman by the name of Tom Weston. He says, "Hello, Ramblers. I would like to know that if you boys had to compare yourselves to any of the world-class players in the game today, who would it be? I'm Xavi for my unselfish creative play, and my friend is Didier Drogba for his pathetic dives. But who would you Ramblers be? Ramble Foss,
ho.
Ho.
Well, should I go first? Jamie Carragher. Slow, legs have gone, and prone to giving away penalties.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
And scoring own goals.
Luke?
Yeah.
Thomas Ravelli.
Oh, goal!
Yeah.
Yeah, bit of an eccentric keeper as well.
Yeah.
See, I play in goal. I think probably my last performance going on that, I'd go for former England international Scott Carson. Wasn't the best display.
Don't put yourself down. I'd say you... more of in the South American mould, James. Like to use your feet a bit.
That's true.
Actually, Ravelli used to save a lot with his feet. Yeah. You're Ravelli.
Schmeichel used to save a lot with his feet.
Yeah. Sign of a good goalkeeper.
Sign of a goalkeeper is using your feet to save the ball when it's close to your body.
Yep. Mm.
That's a trick.
Yeah.
Not just trying it every time.
No, exactly. Okay, not if it's in the top corner, do you know what I mean?
Well, we're not too sure about you, Luke. We think maybe Ravelli for James.
Let's face it. I'm pretty...
Jan Mulby.
I'm Javier Mascherano. Let's face it.
Jan Moby's not a bad
player. You know, having a look at Marcus, he's absolutely gutted. Not only is he not agree, he's actually offended that I've even suggested it.
What about Pete? Who do we
well, we were talking last week about Sean Wright Phillips having no control at all and just using his pace. I'm him without the pace. So
Pete's a busy
nothing.
Winger. Yeah. No, Pete's a busy winger in a sort of cranky old mould. He's not.
I think Freddie Lundberg.
You reckon?
Yeah. The hairline.
Yeah. He's not an out-and-out pacing
winger. That's
what
I'm saying, like a
it's not a bad shout, yeah. He posed with his pants quite a lot as well.
I once went into a barber's and asked for a Freddie Ljungberg.
There you are!
There we go.
Yeah, it's got to be him.
And I'm probably Van Basten, but...
Marcus is a box-to-box midfielder, I'd say.
No, we talked about this. You said Carlos Tevez.
You're Paul Pesce's leader.
Yeah, no, Tevez is a good shot. Yeah, you're just behind the main striker. Right? Yeah.
Similar face, similar haircut.
Yeah. Tevez crossed with Pesce's leader, I'd say.
Well, all right. Yeah. That's fine.
So, who's the champ man goodie bag going to, Marcus?
It's got to be Tom. Any man who compares himself to Xavi on this show is all right with me.
Take some brass balls, that does.
That does. Tom, champ man goodie bag is on its way to you. Although it could take... ages to get there, for obvious reasons. But there we are. Well, speaking of James or Jim's goalkeeping exploits of late, which you just mentioned, we actually played a game against some of the lads from 442 magazine, and we drew.
It was a draw. I think it was 13 each.
Yeah, it was an epic draw.
Wasn't it?
But I wouldn't know what the score was because I didn't get on the score sheet. It's not something I concern myself with.
No, it was a good game. Good lads.
Yeah, definitely.
Good laugh. Good evening.
I got hit in the balls and the face.
Yeah, you did. I enjoyed that. Yeah.
You were shouting for quite a bit for the game to stop. You were clutching your balls.
Yeah.
Stop.
Stop.
Another shot.
What did you think I was doing? Just asking for the game to stop clutching my balls.
James,
and then after...
As you know, James, all I can hear when I'm playing football in my head is Hero by Bonnie Tyler.
I said it in tune to that, Marcus, to try and make you stop, but you didn't listen.
We've still not lost the game, so we are going to play them in a rematch, because it was 5-a-side, and we prefer to play 6-a-side. So. But thanks to fitnessbox.co.uk for providing the kit,
as always. And thanks for Jim's box for protecting the goal.
Exactly.
Funny stories.
Scotland Yard has apologised after actors from a hit film were mistakenly identified as football hooligans being sought after riot at a West Ham game. Police issued 66 pictures of people supposedly caught on camera during violent clashes in August. The images wrongly included stills of 6 actors from the recent film The Firm. A TV report was used to capture the images, but because there was no sound, officers did not realise it included clips from the hooligan-themed film. Scotland Yard, who released the images on Tuesday, said 6 images of individuals who were not involved in the violence were mistakenly included. These images appear to have been taken from a motion picture. We wish to apologise unreservedly to those affected. We are going to be actively trying to contact those people to offer our apologies.
Just how do you get that mixed up?
Well, why are they relying on television footage to get their images?
I think the bloke who's in charge of the CCTV, his cameras have cut out at some point.
Yeah, so
and
he's
the guy's
film
called
on.
Him in and go, right, what have you got for me? And he's like, oh, crap. This, and he just played the film, yeah? Oh, these are fantastic images. We can write them. We can hear them.
He's gone into a CCTV office, and he thought, well, nothing ever happens. I'm just going to sit around. I might as well put a film on. Nipped out for a wee or a cigarette or something, and the guys come in and looks at it and go, fucking hell, they're right vicious bastards, they are. Get them to Scotland Yard right away. Post-haste.
I'm being proactive.
That's what's happened.
I've got to clear that up.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And
it's only more and more like Michael Aspel every week.
Henrik Edward Larsson, MBE.
Oh, good. Oh,
Henrik Larsson. Yes, it is. He has just announced his retirement. Well, I say just announced.
Again?
I was going to say.
Yeah. I know that it'll pop up in Brazilian football next week.
Yeah. Oh, stop it. All right. But Henrik Larsson, yeah, he was born on the 28th of September 1971, 4 years after the
Summer of Love.
He was a former Swedish international, and he's joined his first team, Högeborg in Helsingborg, where he was born, at the age of 6. By the time he was 15, he was asked to train with the seniors during the summer. Now, Högeborg are a lower league Swedish side. And so at the end of 15, he was training with the seniors during the summer. And then they moved him up to the senior team. And he played his first full game for them at 17 in the Swedish third division. And at that time, he was doing a lot of other jobs. He was packing fruit in vegetables in a warehouse, supervising kids in a youth centre, and this was all as while he was still at school.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's interesting. You know,
he's got a work ethic.
Exactly. Yeah. But at 17, you know, people often think these superstars of the game, like Cristiano Ronaldo, is a good example. At 17, they're professional contracts and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Not so the case here, you know. So. He was there for a few years, and he played 74 league games for them and scored 23 goals. But he was 21, and he still hadn't broken through to one of the big sides. You know, so this is kind of lower end semi pro level, so he's thinking, I'm 21. You know, it's just time's ticking away here. But Helsingborg, who slightly bigger side in Sweden, and they were in the Swedish first division at the time, and they came in for him. And he signed for them. He was getting £300 a month without bonuses.
Oh, really? Wow.
So, yeah. But in his first season for them, he scored 34 goals. The team was promoted to the top division, the Swedish Premier League, for the first time in 22 years. And in his first season in the Swedish top flight, he scored 16 goals and was among the top scorers in Sweden. So he had two good years for Helsingborg. Played about 52 league games for them and scored 48 goals. So he had a great scoring record.
I hope he renegotiated his contract.
Yeah, exactly. Getting paid 24 pence a goal.
But still effectively playing semi-pro level there.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Swedish sort of top flight. Maybe they became a pro club then. But all this, he got signed by Feyenoord. They came in for him, the big side, in September 93. He'd nearly joined Grasshoppers of Zurich, and they were finalising details, but as Henrique put it himself, with all due respect to Swiss football, there was only one decision there. He cost £295,000, and half that fee went to his first club as an agreement.
That's good.
Absolutely. But he didn't actually join Feyenoord until November of 93, because he wanted to make sure that Helsingborg was safe from relegation before he left.
Oh, nice.
And in his first season at Feyenoord, into the Dutch league now, he scored only one goal in about 16 games. So not the best of starts, but still, you've got to warm him up. But again, he's in his early 20s now.
Yeah, he was there for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah. So his second season, he scored about 11 goals, so a bit of a better season. And in 1994, of course, he went to the World Cup finals in America with Sweden. Now, he'd hoped for his place in the starting lineup, but, you know, by his own admission later on, he felt very tired by come the tournament, and he'd lost touch a bit. The first game, he was on the bench. Because I'm sure we remember Henrik Larsson from more recent tournaments, but he was there in 94.
Oh, I remember his dreadlocks, so one of the standout memories, yeah. I must say.
Yeah, very true.
They were cool. They were cool, tidy dreadlocks, weren't they?
They weren't messy. Yeah, they weren't messy.
Back when dreadlocks were sort of all round assumed to be a reasonably good idea.
It was like that guy.
Not the case now.
That guy and the guy from Rage Against the Machine had very
similar.
Yeah, true.
Cool
yeah.
dudes.
Zach De La Rocha, I believe his name is.
Dudes indeed. In the first game, he came on as a sub. Second game, he started against Brazil. Didn't play too well, though, he said. But in the third game, he was on the bench against Russia, and he said it was such a hot day. It was quite nice to be on the bench because it was air conditioned. But eventually,
it's that work ethic.
He has come from Sweden, to be fair.
Yeah, he'd earned that rest, though. Yeah, I feel. Yeah. Henrik Larsson, Thomas Ravelli, and the boys were eventually knocked out by Brazil in the semi-finals. But they did finish third, and they beat Bulgaria in the third place playoff. And
they had a great tournament.
Yeah, they did a fantastic tournament. Larsson scored in that game. So in his first World Cup for Sweden. He's finished third.
That would have been their best performance of the 50s, definitely.
Yeah, totally. So, after the World Cup, he was at Feyenoord, of course, and towards the end of his time at Feyenoord, he wasn't playing too well. The press were getting on his back a bit, and the new manager who was there, because Wim Jansen took him to Feyenoord. The new manager was playing him out of position. He was on the left wing, he was on the right wing, he was in midfield. You know, he wasn't too happy there. He kind of said he wanted to move, and after a little bit of a legal dispute, he moved to Celtic Park when Wim Jansen moved there. And, of course, Wim Jansen, as I said, took him to Feyenoord. He's taken him to Celtic for £650,000.
He's got a hell of a lot of goals.
£650,000 in July 97. In his first season, Celtic won the league. They stopped Rangers to achieving the 10 in a row. And that was 97-98. In 98-99, he was voted Swedish Footballer of the Year, Players Player of the Year in Scotland, and Sports Writers Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a good time was had by him there.
Yeah.
The following season, during Celtic's 1-0 defeat in the UEFA Cup tie against Lyon, He suffered a career-threatening injury.
It was a horrific leg break, wasn't it?
Very, very visceral, some might say.
Yeah, it was awful to see.
In the 99-2000 season, this week, breaking his leg in two places. And he was spent 8 months on the sidelines after that.
Well, it's a miracle he played again. Yeah. You know, it's an awful, awful injury. It's a very, very reminiscent of the older Eduardo.
Mm. Well, I don't know, it's a bit different, because Larson was on his feet, wasn't he? And it's weird, how it's almost like you just see the bone pop out the side of his leg. It looks like quite an innocuous challenge at first.
He wrapped his foot around the other guy's foot, didn't he? And his leg broke.
I thought he was just running, wasn't he? I thought he was just running, and it just sort of snapped. It sort of fell under it, like it just sort of snapped under itself. And it's weird when you do see a leg break. I've seen a wrestler do that once, and they sort of put their leg down to plant their foot, but their foot's not there because it's just a horrible thing.
Maybe I'm confused. Sorry, yeah, it was awful. Anyway, I remember it.
Well, he managed to come back and return on the last day of that season, but John Barnes cited his injury as a big factor in why he was sacked.
Well, from Tranmere or Celtic?
That's right, yeah.
That's brilliant.
But he did play at Euro 2000. Sweden went out in the first round, but he did score one goal in that tournament.
He will have done, wouldn't he?
Italy. Now, the following season, Celtic, he was back. Remember, the previous season, he's been out for 8 months. Yeah. Next season, what does he do? Well, he scores a total of 53 goals for Celtic and wins the European Golden Boot.
Some would say Scottish football was rubbish.
European Golden Boot?
Can't argue with that, can you?
Incredible. Absolutely incredible achievement. And then, of course, when he was at Celtic as well, he helped them reach the UEFA Cup final against Porto, where they lost 3-2. He scored two goals. He said it was the worst moment of his career. He said it was worse than breaking his leg. He was so gutted after that final. Now, I can remember watching that final. Now, to put this in perspective, Porto, they were diving, or Derlei, I think it was. He was diving so much. Now, as I said, put this in perspective. Now, as you know, I grew up in Scotland, and I tend to err towards the blue half of Glasgow, if I'm ruthlessly honest with you. And I had a bet on Porto winning, and I was watching that game, and I wanted Celtic to win.
Because
it was just ridiculous.
And they took so many fans as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They were fantastic, and Porto were a disgrace the way some of their players.
That is for Celtic to get to the
to get me supporting them.
Yeah.
That isn't it. No, you're right. To get to that final was incredible.
And the last one was a massive, massive part of that.
Yeah. It was such a shame for them. It really was. But in his career at Celtic, he won four SPL titles, two Scottish League Cups, three Scottish Cups, and he still holds the record as the SPL's all-time leading goal scorer with 158 goals in his six-year spell at Celtic. And also, he holds the record, I believe, for the most number of goals scored for a club from the British Isles in European matches.
All right.
And in 2002, Celtic fans selected Larson in the greatest ever Celtic team, and he was the only player from outside of Scotland to make that team.
They've had some players down the years as well, so that's a great achievement.
They have indeed. Out of four of the six seasons he was in Scotland, he was top scorer. The only two where he wasn't was in his first season and the season where he broke his leg. Yeah. Here's a little rundown of his league form. His first season, he scored 16 goals in 35 league games. Second season, 29 league goals in 35 league games. Third season, 8 goals in 9 league games. Fourth season, 35 goals in 37 league games. Following season, 29 in 33, 27 in 35, 30 in 37.
I wouldn't have been surprised if when he broke his leg, the bit of leg that flew off
went in the goal.
Just scored the ball. Just kicked the ball.
He kicked the ball. Yeah.
Well, he played at the World Cup 2002. He scored a couple against Nigeria, and they topped the group of death ahead of England, of course. Mm. Scored against Senegal in the second round, but they went out after that. He then retired from international football, but then he came out of retirement for Euro 2004. Mainly because the country were just like, what the hell are you doing?
He cannot stop retiring, Larson. He retired about five times.
Well, that's right.
He loves the game so much.
Yeah. He scored three goals in four games at that tournament, including goal of the tournament, which is a beautiful diving header against Bulgaria.
That, yeah.
They reached the quarterfinals. After the Euros, he was off to Barcelona.
Hmm. Hmm.
And I think that was, some might say, overdue.
He had a season there, didn't he?
He had two seasons.
Two seasons, was it? Yeah,
would you say that was overdue? I mean, massively. That's no disrespect to Celtic at all.
Well,
no,
I mean, he was obviously having a great time there at Celtic because he was scoring freely. But, I mean, yeah, he deserved to go to a club of that size, I think, definitely. Mm,
absolutely.
Well, he didn't play too much in his first season. He scored three goals in 12 games. The following season, he played a bigger part. He scored 10 goals and then won the league again. And, of course, in his final game for Barcelona, he won the Champions League with them. He came on as a substitute and assisted both of Barcelona goals in a 2-1 win over Arsenal. Mm-hmm.
And he was magnificent in that game. He made the difference. I mean, obviously, yeah, Barcelona really were playing against 10 men, but Arsenal were very resilient up to that. Well, it was Larsson that undid them.
Well, that's it. Arsenal looks as though they were going to hang on.
Yeah.
And win that, but as you say. And Ronaldinho said, when Larsson was due to leave Barcelona, he said, "With Henrik leaving us at the end of the season, this club is losing a great goal scorer, no question, but I'm losing a great friend. Henrik was my idol, and now that I'm playing next to him, it is fantastic." Ronaldinho.
Big shout.
Ronaldinho big shout. Said that. And Ronaldinho was probably the best player in the world when he said that.
Yeah.
So it's quite something. He played at World Cup 2002 when they reached the second round. His only goal was, of course, the last-minute equaliser against England in the 2-2 draw. Mm-hmm. But he became only the sixth player to score three...
World Cups.
To score in three World Cups, yeah. Of course. And he played, again, he came out of retirement for a second time, playing at Euro 2008. But then on October the 11th, 2009, he decided to quit the national team. And this was, of course... pretty much when he decided to quit football. But after Barcelona, he did rejoin his hometown team, Helsingborg, once again. But shortly after signing for them, he was loaned out to Manchester United. He scored three goals for United.
About seven or eight games, was it?
I think it was about 10 or 12.
Was it, yeah?
Masterstroke, that was, from Ferguson.
Yeah. Well, they needed someone to just come in and fill the time there, and he was didn't just do that. I mean, Ferguson wanted him to stay after.
Yeah, that's right.
And what was nice, he was given special dispensation by the league to receive a Premier League winner's medal because he hadn't played the required 10 games, but so he's got a Premier League winner's medal.
Oh, cracking, that's good.
And then back at Helsingborg, he played the rest of his time there, and which of course finished very recently. He broke his kneecap there, so he had so many harsh injuries, and he came back from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strongly.
He wasn't a player that was hampered by those injuries.
That's right.
Which is incredible, really, considering he did have a lot of nasty ones.
Especially as it can affect you psychologically as well as physically as well.
Completely. So he has said he'd like to move into coaching at some point, but he has said that he wants to get involved in floorball.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, yeah. It's like a hockey-style game.
It's an odd game.
Yeah.
But Helsingborg have announced that they are going to retire the number 17 shirt.
Oh, really? Yeah. Maybe he'll put floorball on the map.
Well.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It'll be the first player to break his face doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
He did actually score against Celtic for Barcelona, didn't he?
He did, in the Champions League.
It was really...
Did he celebrate?
No, he didn't, but sadly he was booed. I thought that was really, really sad. Yeah. It was only from a small section of the crowd, and he made it so clear that he wasn't celebrating. It was a lovely finish. It was just...
Yeah.
Silly,
odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that lob against Rangers, I think it was?
Beauty.
Was it? Was an absolute stunner, that was, wasn't it?
The keeper was knowingly lobbed there.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Wouldn't happen to me in goal.
Oh, yeah, but I shall end with a quote. And this is what Thierry Henry said after the Champions League final itself, which was really kind of one of the big highlights of his career, coming on and changing the game on the world stage, you know, because often so many people, especially, you know, English fans, said, well, you know, he's good in Scotland, but is he really that good and so on? And he shut everybody up in that game. And Thierry Henry said after the final, people always talk about Ronaldinho, Eto'o, Hughley and everything, but I didn't see them today. I saw Henrik Larsson. He came on, he changed the game. This is what killed the game. Sometimes you talk about Ronaldinho and Eto'o and people like that. You need to talk about the proper footballer who made the difference, and that was Henrik Larsson tonight. And with that, he's in the Dean Man's Hall of Fame.
Well done.
Get him there.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. And you can check out our website, of course, which is thefootballramble.com. There's some wonderful blogs and all sorts of bits and pieces on there. Luke, you've got an announcement.
Yeah, just a real quick one. We've decided to do a little betting competition with Betway.com, who are an online gambling company. We're going to do a little bet or a little tip each week between, well, one each, and sort of duel against each other to see who the best tipster is. If you go to betway.com/thefootballramble, or there's a little banner on our website where you can click through, and if you want to get involved and bet with us or against us or whatever, then you can open an account there. Some pretty good odds, actually.
Come and have a go if you're
there, aren't you? Exactly. Yeah, this week I've gone for Napoli to beat Catania away. Who have you gone for, Jimbo?
I've gone for Chelsea to beat United.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've gone for a draw in that one.
Have you? You've gone for a treble, haven't you?
I've gone for a treble. I've gone for Sunderland to win at Spurs.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've gone for a draw, Chelsea versus United.
Yeah.
And I've gone for Fulham to win away at Wigan. Because last week I had Fulham to beat Liverpool, Sampdoria to win at Juventus, and Athletic Bilbao to beat Atletico Madrid. And two out of three.
But you've bet against Atletico Madrid as well, haven't you?
Yeah, in the Real,
The
Madrid derby. At the weekend. So yeah.
So yeah, get in touch on. Get involved over there. It's betterway.com/thefootballramble, and you can bet against or with us. You open an account over there, and also keep a track on who the best tipster is at the four of us. Mm. I can tell you now, it is definitely me. If you want to see that, if you want to see that for yourself.
There's a surprise.
They've got some good odds because I've seen Birmingham to get something out of the Liverpool game, which is at Anfield, admittedly. But Birmingham played brilliantly against Man City, and they're 10-1 to winning against Liverpool. It's not a bad shout.
You've got another announcement.
And one more thing, yeah. We're going to do, you may have read about this on the internet, i.e. Facebook or something like that, that we're going to have a Christmas drink on the 19th of December. So if you want to come down, it's going to be at the King's Arms, which is 27 Wormwood Street, London. Nearest tube is Liverpool Street. Come down there. It's going to kick off about 3 p.m. We've got the whole bar to ourselves. There's going to be some football on. We'll have a few drinks. Just get into the Christmas spirit, really. But because of the nature of these sort of things, and we want to make sure that as many people come as possible, you need to let us know whether you're going to come or not, because we've got the bar exclusively to ourselves. So either get involved in the Facebook event and sign up to that, and we'll take your name from there. Or if you're planning to come and you're not on Facebook and you hate social networking, which is fine, a bit like Marcus, you can you've got to email in and tell us if you're coming, and give us your name and who you're bringing, and we'll put your name down the door. All right. So yeah, if you do want to come, do let us know, and it'll be sort of first come first served. Just email us in with your names.
Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll sort some things out. We'll do like some competitions. We'll give some stuff away. We'll have a few drinks. We'll watch the football. And we'll generally get into the Christmas spirit.
Banter. Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Luke King.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye.
We're all off to have some Nutella. Cheery bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.